Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, I want to read 13 and 14 for my text this morning. I have a message that God's laid on my heart, and I believe with everything that's within me that there is people here today that only God knows what you've been going through, what you've been struggling with. But He come by to speak to you today. Aren't you glad that God knows where we're at? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me one more time as we read the Word of God? Paul said to the church at Philippi, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Somebody say apprehend. Amen. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I want to title this message today, "Do Not Allow Your Past to Destroy Your Future." There is so many aspects that we can allow our past to destroy our future. We can do it unconsciously, or we can do it totally consciously, and we can absolutely ruin our future because of our attitude of our past. And usually when we do that, we blame somebody else for our problems. Paul said, "Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but I am going to forget those things which are behind me, and I am going to press forward to those things that are before me, because God's got good things for me." Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. He's got good things for you. You believe that?
Yes.
I want to take a look at some examples in the Bible. And the first one I want to look at is in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 5. "A certain man was there which had an infirmity of 38 years around the pool of Bethesda. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had been there a long time, in that case, he said to him, 'Will you be made whole?'" See, the important thing is, do you want to be made whole? Whether it's physically, spiritually, mentally, regardless of what it is, you have a choice. Do you want to be made whole? Sometimes we just want to wallow in our own self-pity. And that's not good. Evidently, Jesus had a connection with that man. He has a connection with all of us. But he knew that man had to make a decision. Do you really want to be made whole? And this man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I was coming, another steppeth in." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Note that 8th verse. Jesus said to him, "Rise and take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and he walked. And it was on the same day as the Sabbath. Now, I'm probably going to read several scriptures this morning, but I want you to get in your mind and in your heart what God is saying to you this morning, and help you pull out of your past and get it behind you and move forward to the things of God. You have to understand, we sometimes feel like that, man, we've been going through this trial, we've been going through this stuff a long, long, long time, and we just can't see any way out of it. Well, this man had been like this for 38 years. Yes. Crippled, 38 years. And can I tell you, 38 years is a long time.
Amen.
We've been here 38 years.
Amen.
A long time. 38 years was a long time to be carried around. Hello? And maybe after 38 years coming to the pool of Bethesda, perhaps he had figured out where the most shaded, coziest place by the pool was. Likely because he had come to the resolve that his past was dictating his future. I can't get to the pool. Things ain't going to get no better. Things ain't, that's what he told Jesus. I try to get to the pool and somebody beats me to it. So I can't get, I just might as well find a good shade tree here with my cot and just visit with the folks that come by. But can I tell you, his future was fixing to change.
Yes.
Because of his past, his present, and his future, just walked onto the premises of the time to change the tomorrows of that man's life and the chains that had him bound. The chains of the past, Jesus just stepped on his premises. Jesus didn't entertain his excuses for staying the way he was. Hello? I said, Jesus did not entertain his excuses for staying the way he was. Instead, he directed him to get up off of the object that it has him bound, to pick it up and walk away from that which would have been a continual miserable future. Instead, he told him to pick up what was cradling his past and go disregard that thing, because your future is no longer going to destroy your past. Listen to me, church. Listen to me carefully. There was a specific reason why Jesus told the man to pick up his bed and walk away with it and destroy it. I know that those words are not in there, but he would have told him to just leave it there and walk away if he did not have plans for him to destroy in that which he was being harbored on. You know why Jesus told him to take up his bed and walk? Because he did not want that bed to stay there for that man to go back and lay down and destroy his future for the second time. Jesus did not want that man to be able to go back and lay down on his past for it to become a second chance for his continual future. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? You have a choice. Do you want to be made whole? You have to destroy and get rid of, put it out of sight and destroy it, lest you're tempted to go back to it. Familiarity breeds contentment, and change sometimes brings some things that are not necessarily pleasant, but change is good. And we must understand, and not all change is as good as we understand and we see, but I'm here to tell you, when we, in our circumstance, when we harbor those things that keep us in misery, we have a tendency to go back to them. Hello? You got to destroy what you've been laying in and laying on. John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, grave clothes. And his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Lazarus come out of the grave clothes after 4 days. After 4 days being in the grave, he come out. We've all heard the song, 4 Days Too Late by Karen Peck and New River. But how many of us find ourselves in a circumstance that's way too personal with what Lazarus has just went through? Seeing you have wondered if Jesus, perhaps you've wondered at times in your circumstances and in your life, you've wondered if Jesus was too late to raise you from the tomb of your despair. Bound by the habits and the hurts and the hang-ups, you have felt smothered by the napkin that's pressured you and held your breath hopelessly to the grave. The darkness of your circumstance has held you terrified by the cold and gloomy grave, that all the hope that you might have had was gone. You've come to terms that this is just the way it is, and the best you can do is just survive your fate of your makings. Oh, but church, don't forget that this is the man that has not succumbed by death or hopelessness, who he himself has walked the dark hills and the lonely valleys. It is Christ himself who has one time walked in one side of the cemetery, one side of the grave, and walked out on the other side. He has snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave so that you might have hope and that you might have a future. Can I tell you, church, it's Jesus who walked into the dark and cold grave of hopelessness. He has spoken your name and commanded the demons to loose hold of you. Because even the chains that have bound you and your grave clothes have squeezed the life right out of you. I want you to know they have to loose the grip on you and set you free at the name of Jesus. For you to know because of who He is, what He has done, we have a bright future. We have a bright future. Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19 said, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Hey. He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Listen, don't think yourself of being so special that God can't do nothing for you. I want you to know you're special enough that God sent His only begotten Son, that He's already done something for you. He wants to take you from being bound from your past and lead you into a bright future. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God has a promise for you. I said, God has a promise for you. You don't have to stay the way you are. Your past is only inhibiting your future. You need to learn to turn loose of the past. Give it all to God. Let Him set you free. Let Him touch your heart, touch your life. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 8, it said, "And again He stooped down. He wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own consciousness, went out one by one." And I'm not reading the whole thing, just reading some of it, because you already know these stories. But I'm putting a different slant on it to help you know that you don't have to stay the way you were. You don't have to stay the way you are. And you don't have to stay the way you was. There's deliverance for you. "And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, being at the eldest, even unto the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted Himself up, when he had raised up from the ground, and saw none but the woman, He said to her, 'Woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?' And she said, 'No man, Lord.' Jesus said, 'Neither do I condemn thee. Go, sin no more.'" We hear from and read and know from the Scriptures that Satan himself is the accuser of the brethren. We know through the Scriptures that he has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But can I tell you today, the master of your destiny has come to write your history in the sand. He has come to remove your past. Take away the hopeless accusations of the enemy. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. He came to give you liberty, freedom, to move past your struggles of your past, so that you can reach into the future of God's blessings. You've done things you're not proud of. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has done things we're not proud of. And sometimes it seems like that it's impossible to move past those things, because of the guilt and the condemnation that Satan brings. But can I tell you, the Word of God tells us that no longer is there any condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's Satan that brings guilt and condemnation. But can I tell you today, it's Jesus. He is writing your future in the sand. He's saying, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Turn your back on the things that are behind you, things that have hampered you, things that have weighted you down, things that have kept you up at night. Can I tell you, you need to turn your back on those things and you need to reach into your future that is right in front of you, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Oh my, there ought to be some rustling and shouting in your soul right now. Can I tell you also in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 and 45, a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind Him, Jesus, and touched the hem of His garment, His cloak, and immediately the bleeding stopped. Jesus immediately stopped and looked at His disciples and those around Him and said, "Who touched me? Who's touched me?" Listen, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the past. We can relate to hemorrhaging, being physical, spiritual, mentally, emotionally, all of these things. As churches, I'm hitting the different areas of people's brokenness in the Bible. I'm here to tell you, over a week ago, God began to speak to my heart. And I'm reading my notes that I put down as God spoke to my heart in my office at the house. I'm reading my notes because I don't want to miss a word of what God spoke to my heart to speak to you. So I'm hitting the different areas of people's brokenness in the Bible. I'm trying to get you to relate that each of us has different struggles. No matter what they look like. They can sometimes seem very hopeless and scary, to say the least. Especially when it seems like there's no resolve. This lady had a physical, female issue that had plagued her for 12 years. 12 years. 12 years. She had sought out every physician that she could find that would help her. And the Bible says that she got none the better. Those 12 years had left her empty, a bank account empty. It had left her totally deprived of any answers of resolve. Listen, there's some of you right here, right now, under the sound of my voice, that have felt like that you have been hemorrhaging from friendship, emotional distress, spiritual emptiness. You felt like you have hemorrhaged spiritually. You have hemorrhaged your money, your health, and you feel totally a full-fledged anemic. You've been to counselors. You've gotten advice from your friends. You've tried to be faithful to church, but your condition's only gotten worse. Anybody hearing me today? But I come to tell you something today, church. Your future is brighter than you've ever experienced or ever known before. And I hope and pray that you've become more determined and reached a place to where you understand and realize that Christ is your only hope. I'm here to tell you that hemorrhaging is not the only physical ailment that comes to our life. It is imperative that in this hour that you and I live in, I'm convinced this world, things are not going to get no better till the church is gone. Then we're going to get much better, and then it's going to get crazy. I don't want to be here. It's crazy enough. But we've got to be determined to reach a place that we understand Christ is our only hope. We got to make up our mind that we're going to push harder and that we're not going to allow anything to stand in our way to keep us from touching the Master. I understand and know that some people think I'm a little cynical, a little crazy for thinking the way I do, but I don't base it upon my Gordon. I base it upon the Word of God.
Amen.
We're living in the last days.
Yeah.
Perilous times are here.
Yes.
But you know what? Our future is brighter than we've ever seen before.
Amen.
Most of you work at least a year, if not more, just to take a week's vacation. And the closer that vacation gets to you, the more liberated you feel. Hello? How many knows what I'm talking about now? Am I getting down where you live? But when we get closer to that vacation, we know we're going to get to go do what we want to do and not be pressured by the boss. And sometimes we're the boss, but we're not being pressured by what we have to do, and we're looking forward to it. The day before, we're just beside ourselves, right? Well, I'm here to tell you, child of God, you need to be beside yourself. Because that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to quicken these mortal bodies. All of those things and all of these things that has hampered us and kept us wrapped up in our past and the grave clothes has suffocated us. I'm telling you, they're about ready to break through. They're about ready to break off of us. We're about ready to get out of here. I'm telling you, the coming of Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray there's not a one in this building today is left standing when the church is gone saying, I wish I'd have listened to that preacher. I wish I'd have listened to him. Your future is brighter today than you've ever known it to be before because we're closer to His coming. We must be determined that we've got to touch Him. We've got to make up our mind that we're going to push harder and we're not going to allow anything to come and get in our way, that we're not going to touch the Master because our future is standing in front of us. Did you hear me, church? How many believe Jesus is here today? And with that being said, our future is in front of us. Can I tell you, Jesus is coming. And He has life-giving water for you. And He has promised a banqueting table.
Amen.
A banqueting table, even in the midst of our enemies. He has promised you a banqueting table if you're hungry. All you have to do is come and dine. In this passage of Scripture, these last two that I'm going to mention to you is perhaps the highlight of what I feel this message needs to be. Genesis chapter 18, we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. Does that mean I can start preaching all over again? Genesis chapter 18, verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be that Sarah, with Sarah after the manner of women, she couldn't have any babies anymore. She is 90 years old. Therefore, when she heard the salutation, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I'm waxed old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Can I tell you, if Jesus said it, you might as well get ready. It's going to happen. And He said He's coming back. You might as well get ready. He's coming back. Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid, and said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Now here's the kicker. 90 years she'd been waiting for a promise. Some of you are thinking, I ain't got 90 years to wait for a promise. But a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. There's not a time frame. There's sometimes the circumstances in our life when we feel like we've been waiting on a promise, it's been 90 years short. Huh? See, you believe in the promises of God. Hey, listen. You say you believe in the promises of God, but maybe they're not for you. That's what you're saying. I believe in the promises of God, but I don't think they're really for me. I'm telling you, somebody's told yourself that this week. I believe in the promises of God, but I don't think they're for me. I've waited so long that it doesn't even seem like it's a possibility anymore. Have you waited 90 years? Can you imagine how Sarah felt? 90 years of waiting on the promises that God had told them, surely Abraham missed it. Can't you just see Sarah going to Abraham, honey, I love you, but you missed it this time. I really believe you ate too many beans for supper last night. You didn't really hear God speak. And to prove my point on that, after waiting for so long, they didn't accept the promises of God and they tried to fix it themselves. And you all know that story. I won't get into that right now. But they tried to fix it themselves. Have you ever felt like you needed to step in and fix things for God? I need to step in. God, I've prayed about this thing for 90 years and you haven't done anything about it. So I need to step in here and take over, God. I understand, God, you're way too busy. And perhaps the circumstances I'm dealing with and facing, maybe this situation just really doesn't concern you. Hello? So we step in and, oh my, what a mess we made. Sarah and Abraham, what a mess they made. And we're still living with that mess today. Think about it. If she just waited just a little bit longer, but the decision they made to step in and take care of it for God, all these years later, we're still dealing with it. After a long wait, and out of nowhere, God says it's time. And we're so amused because we no longer have the strength or the energy to see it through. But can I tell you, when God says yes, He says yes. Listen, my Bible tells me that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And by the way, God doesn't need your help. It ain't time till He says it's time. And you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God's promises are faithful and true. Just because it's been 90 years and you feel like you're over the hill, God does not forget about your future. Can I tell you this morning, do not let your past haunt you. Look into the brightest future where Jesus is standing, offering you His hand. And can I tell you, we don't understand the wait sometimes, but while we're waiting, He's conditioning you. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I send an angel before you." Are you listening? "I send an angel before you to keep you in the way, and to bring thee into a place which I have prepared." God has a place prepared for you. Can I take you back to Jeremiah 29:11? A place that God's prepared for you. Can I tell you, church, each one of us has a choice to make. You can stay living in your past. And listen, I can think of back of some past experiences in church that is good. I've shared with them many times. But they are the past. And I glean from those testimonies. But God is the same today as He was there. You don't have to use your past as a stumbling block to keep you bogged down, tore up, in bondage, and hemorrhaging. You have a choice to make. Joshua chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness." And I've heard people say, "I feel like I've been 40 years in the wilderness." Yeah. Huh? Anybody ever felt like that?
Yeah.
Just me and Sister Diane. The children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which come out of Egypt, were consumed. They died in the way. God promised them, "I'll take you over into Canaan." And by the way, just so you'll know, heaven is not your Canaan. Boy, that got Saul. I said, heaven's not your Canaan. Come on, somebody. Heaven's heaven. Canaan still had giants in the land. When we get to heaven, there ain't going to be none. And when we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no Jericho walls we're going to have to walk around. When we get to heaven, all sin is going to be past. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have to worry about where the food's coming from, because the banqueting table's going to be there. They was consumed, come out of Egypt, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. My. What tragedy. Simply, if they had obeyed and listened and hearkened to the voice of God, they would have been in the wilderness in about a week or so. They've been out of the wilderness in a week or so and been into Canaan's land. Whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord shewed their fathers that he would give them, a land that flowed with milk and honey. He promised them, because of your wickedness, because of your disobedience, because of everything that you've done, you're not even going to see over into Canaan. Can I tell you, church, you can be like the 10 spies and see the hopelessness and refuse to believe God means what he says. You can stay in the wilderness till you die. Or you can refuse to allow the devil to keep you captive by your past. You can refuse to allow the devil to make you a victim of your past. You can refuse to allow the devil to repeat your history till you are quenched and squished and suffocated from your future. Or you can make up your mind to claim God's promises. You can square your shoulders like Joshua and Caleb and choose to base your future on what thus saith God. Sister Teresa, would you and Brother Larry go ahead and come to the piano, please? Listen, 40 years is a long time. I said 40 years is a long time. No matter how long you've been struggling, your future is ahead of you. And it's time that you move past your days of misery and claim what God has promised for you. Is there anybody in this house alive today? Have I spoke to anybody's heart? Help you to realize that every one of us go through struggles. We go through things and we allow the enemy to keep afresh in our minds the mistakes we've made. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." To whom the Son set free, he's free indeed. To whom the Son has set free, he's free indeed. Can I tell you, can I just let you know that Jesus loves you more than Satan hates you? Did you get that? Jesus loves you more than Satan hates you. And that's a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Hey, don't allow your past to destroy your future. God's bigger than that. He's bigger than anything you faced. He's bigger than any mistake you've ever made. He loves you and He cares for you. God sent His only begotten Son to die on a cruel cross, to take the whipping and the beating, spear in His side, the crown of thorns on His head. He did it because He knew you was worth it. All you have to do is respond to His love. Would you stand with me all over the building today? There is a God in heaven above and a Savior that has come to live among us. He's waiting for you to reach out your hand, because God can reach farther down than you can reach up. Say, God, I'm sick and tired of living in my past. Said, I'm sick and tired of living in my past. I know you have a future for me. Let's bow and eyes closed for just a moment. Are you here today and you don't even know this Jesus that I'm talking about? Your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Could you lift your hand and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me because I don't want to go to hell. I want to make heaven my home. Yes, hell is a real place. But it wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for Satan. Is there one? Just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? All right, how many in this building right now, God bless his hand, how many in this building right now would say, Pastor, I have struggled with my past till I'm about ready to throw up. I can't handle it no more. I have allowed the devil to lie to me. I have allowed the devil to just keep me in bondage. And I have struggled, but I'm tired and I want to break free. How many of you would slip out of your seat, come to this altar right now and say, I'm tired. I want to be set free right now in the name of Jesus.